Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer at Compliance Week, and today we'll be discussing best practices for corporate bring-your-own-device policies with Jason Moody of Dell Software. The emergence of BYOD initiatives is great for employees and appreciated by managers on the go, but it's also a potential nightmare for compliance personnel. Failure to comply with data security and privacy regulations can result in penalties, litigation, and damage to your reputation. The potential for compliance violations is significant. In the healthcare industry, for example, the use of mobile devices to exchange protected health information triggers the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act security rule. That's fortified by large and ever-growing fines. Similar dilemmas confront compliance officers in financial services, insurance, energy and utilities, and other highly regulated industries. Even in those industries that have fewer regulations, organizations are under increasing pressure to protect private information. We spoke to Moody, an enterprise mobility solutions strategist, about the bring-your-own-device trend and best practices that he and his colleagues at Dell Software recommend to help employers take advantage of the productivity and employee satisfaction benefits that BYOD offers while maintaining regulatory compliance and protecting sensitive data. We've heard both the positives and drawbacks to a BYOD environment, both practically and from a regulatory standpoint. We asked Moody about the current state of companies either embracing or trying to limit the practice among employees, executives, or even board members.
Well, that's a great question. There's actually so much going on right now. From a best practices standpoint, we recommend that companies get together and really align up their BYOD program with their security and privacy regulations. And this will help with avoiding pitfalls concerning compliance. So essentially, this is getting in front of things early and aligning all those best practices and policies together. BYOD initiatives are excellent for employees. They often pose a nightmare for employers. So if we can get together and do things ahead of time, we can stem the tide that could occur if employers fail to do things, and where you're looking at financial penalties, litigation, damage to reputation. So those types of things really are what we're seeing today in the market. BYOD programs have been one of those things that have just been rampant because of the great number of devices, the number of users bringing these devices into the workplace, and it's something that's really just been a tidal wave. And so getting ahead of it will really help stem the tide for things.
What advice does he have for deploying or expanding a BYOD program while still remaining compliant? Are there pitfalls companies need to avoid?
The first thing that I try and do when working with organizations is get these groups together. What we found is that when HR, legal, IT, and a group from the business can get together and talk about policies, best practices and things like that, it actually will help create something in the organization that can be easily replicated and sent out. One of the hardest things to do is if a policy is just mandated across a group and different people in the organization don't understand why, you end up finding people that will create something called shadow IT. So if an organization says, I don't want you to use an external service, cloud service for storage, you'll end up finding that people will use that because they don't understand the reasons why. So a lot of this comes into training. And once the training has taken effect where groups can get together again and understand why we're doing things and how it can affect the business, you end up avoiding a lot of pitfalls that people run into early on. These devices today that people bring into the environment are super powerful. Most of them, when you first turn them on and the end user gets them for the first time, they ask you, can we turn on cloud backup? They ask you all types of information about using new applications. These applications can and do have access to different things if the end user allows them. So IT is looking at this and they're saying, this is just so much coming at me at one time. What do I need to do to stop it? And the end user is saying, hey, this is great. I all of a sudden can share things with people easily. I have backups that are in different cloud services all over the place. and they're seeing things from a totally different vantage point. So by getting them together and understanding how business data can be used, different, separate from personal data, and the effects that these things have when it comes to compliance and meeting all the new regulatory information, it really can make people be on the same page and much easier to work with.
We asked Moody to dig into the five best practices that, in his opinion, any company with a BYOD program should consider.
The first thing that we talk about with customers is confirming which data is regulated and protecting that data. So once you realize, data really is the central point of all this. When I come in and I bring different devices into the environment, or IT assigns me a device, these devices are my window into that data. But the data is the most important thing. So when IT can sit and management can decide which data is regulated and they can realize the best ways to protect it, that's the first thing that's most important. Second thing is controlling access to data and networks. So when we talk about something called remote access. If I'm an employee and I have a device and I stop off at a coffee shop or a public Wi-Fi hotspot, there's a lot of times where I'm just going to accept whatever Wi-Fi hotspot's available. I'm going to get on that hotspot and I'm going to start working. So that access that people all of a sudden have into the network is vitally important. It controls who has access to the data, who can see the data, on what devices they can see the data, as well as being able to manipulate the data. What we look for in a second best practice is controlling access to data and networks. And essentially what that means is your data and your networks tend to be behind a firewall. They're protected. When end users are out and about doing their daily business, they're going to try and gain access to that data to get their jobs done. And generally, they are very open to using any method possible. So that includes open Wi-Fi hotspots, coffee shops around the town when they stop off. They may not even know very much or anything at all about that Wi-Fi hotspot. That can introduce a lot of risk because of the fact that you have people who are monitoring, potentially, these networks. So creating a secure remote access solution for individuals, first of all, it takes the fear away. It also makes it pretty much very easy. All they have to do is you log in and a password, and then they're in. Once they have access to it, then they can do the work that they need to get done. The third piece that we talk through is securing devices. And so this, again, goes along with the fact that you're helping to control things. When we secure devices, what we're talking about is giving a level of encryption, so essentially making the data secure on the device, making the data secure as it travels from the device to back to the network, so that secure remote access again, and then something called data leakage prevention. So the fact is there's going to be about 98 billion applications downloaded by the end of 2015. When that occurs, you're going to see obviously a massive amount of people just hitting accept, accept, accept. They may not even know what they're accepting on their device. These applications have access or will request access to GPS locations, calendar, contacts. So there's a huge fear of having corporate data in applications on devices and then the end user not knowing very much but just wanting to play with their device. Therefore, you're going to have a lot of data leakage is what it's called. So that securing the device is a really important thing, and there's multiple ways of doing it. You can secure the entire device, or you can use something called a secure workspace or container to separate off corporate information from personal information. And then the fourth thing is to have proven compliant apps and be able to prove compliance. So this goes to that apps thing. And again, this is securing data within an application on a device. So once that application, you're sure that the application is safe, you're then able to put information in that application and that end user can use it as much as possible. Many of these applications today, you want to have more control over them by being able to push them out to an end user or remove them if the end user either loses the device, it's lost or stolen, or they move on to another opportunity. So you end up having a lot of control. And then the fifth thing is training. I really think it's super important to have ongoing training because of the fact that we have so many things going on today when it comes to data security as well as identity theft, as well as just social engineering, just in general, training employees on the things that can occur, very simple things like, we're going to have a PIN and password, this is why. Please don't click on text message links that are sent to you through SMS. Simple things like that can really help save organizations from a lot of heartache.
What other recommendations does he have?
Well, there's kind of four areas, and we've touched on them, but the main four areas that I think are most important is to have a management structure, and there's different ways of managing. You can manage it fully, or you can manage just what we call a secure workspace or an application. There's being able to make sure that you have an infrastructure play for end users, so they can get on to a network on campus, and they can get to a network securely when they're remote. The applications that you give people are vitally important, because end-user applications are generally really good, and most people have a set of applications they love. They will compare and contrast the applications that businesses give them with those end-user applications. So if you can make the applications, first of all, work, secondly, get to the information, and then also have a good end-user experience, you end up not having someone try and go recreate the wheel or go around the organization to get to their data. And then the last thing is security. So we really talk about security at every level. We want to offer security capabilities in management on the infrastructure side. So as I'm on and off the network, what's the security look like? And also looking, again, at the applications. If we're testing the applications, we can verify that there's no problem, that the coding isn't leaking out data. There's no things like that grabbing into and having access to things. So management, infrastructure, applications, and security are the four big things. And once you've taken care of that, you can then enable a BYOD solution and make it very compliant with all the needs that organizations are looking for, from very light compliance organizations all the way to very, very heavy compliance organizations.
That's all the time we have for this edition of the Compliance Week podcast. We've been talking to Jason Moody of Dell Software about five best practices that any company with a BYOD program should consider. This is Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week, and I thank you for listening.